And looked at him with a look of sarcasm or anger in his face, and D.L. Moody asked him, "Why the reaction?" He replied, "Why your subject of heaven? What's the use of talking about a subject that's all speculation? It's only wasting time on a subject about which we can only speculate." Moody's reply was, if the Lord doesn't want us to speak about heaven, he would never have told us about a place in the scriptures. And as Timothy says, all scriptures are given by inspiration and all are profitable. Those who say that heaven is speculation have not read their Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, there are passages about heaven, and it is thrilling to learn so much about it. If I were to go to a foreign country or to 2 or 3 weeks' holiday, I would like to know something about it. Its climate, its people, their customs, passport regulations, currency being used, injections required, the best time of the year to go, the best places to visit, etc. Every scrap of information would be gathered up. Nothing would be too insignificant to be ignored. Now, if I do that for 2 or 3 weeks' holidays, how much more thorough would my preparation be if I decided to emigrate to New Zealand or Australia or Canada? But there is a country in which we plan to go to permanently, and yet so many are uninterested about what kind of country it is. Life in this world is very brief. It is but a mist on a winter's morning that soon passes away and will be ushered into eternity. Where are we going to spend it? The question was asked this morning, where would you like to spend eternity? I'm sure there is not a person here or living in this district who has not some hope of reaching heaven. Now, if we plan to spend eternity there, then let us find out something more about it. And first of all, let it be clearly understood that heaven is a place. Heaven is a place. It is just as much a place as Lisbon is a place, or Belfast is a place, or London, or New York. Now, we all know about Lisbon or Belfast because we've been there on many occasions. A few of us will know about London, perhaps, because we've been there, but others may not. Not many have been to New York or Sydney, Australia, but we know that they are also places, for we've heard about them and we've read about them. And when we read the scriptures, we have many references about heaven, and Jesus himself referred to it many times. So we know that it exists. There is a land that is fairer than by day, and by faith we can see it afar. Some people will tell us that this earth is all of heaven that we have. But as we look around us, surely we would not want heaven to be like what we see around us. Look at the poverty, look at the disease, look at the sickness, look at the people out of work, look at the sectarianism and the fighting, and say this is heaven? We're told that heaven is a place where the weary are at rest, a land where there is joy and peace, where no sorrow dwells. We have ample evidence in the Bible that there is such a place as heaven, and there is ample evidence that God's influence from heaven is felt among us. Remember, the sun is 95 million miles from earth, and yet we feel its rays. In 2 Chronicles we read, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land." That is one reference. And when we read it, many people might ask, how far is heaven away? Can you tell me that? I do not know, and nobody can tell us how far it is away. But there's one thing we do know, that God can hear prayer as soon as the words are uttered. There is not a prayer that is said that he has not heard. There's not a tear that's been shed that he has not seen. Therefore, we don't need to know the distance. If we try to find out where it is, we have difficulties, for we cannot use the normal human means of speaking of a place and space. We cannot answer in geographical terms of latitude or longitude. We cannot answer in astronomical terms. Even though man can probe 82 million light years into space with a radio telescope. When Donald Barnhouse was asked the question about the gospel, the speed of light, he replied, "Why do you wish to slow the Creator to the speed of light? He who created the universe is able to move with the speed of thought. And it is possible to think from here to the remotest point in the universe as quickly as to think down to the corner shop. Therefore, in view of this, I need not be concerned, since the only reason ultimately of wanting to know the location of a place is that I might be able to find my way there." And when Thomas was concerned that he did not know how to get there, Jesus simply told him, "Do not be upset, do not be confused, do not be afraid. I will take you there." And we are told by Luke, whenever he writing about Jesus' ascension, when he, that is Jesus, blessed them, he was carried up into heaven. So let us clearly understand that heaven exists, that heaven is a place, and we have ample evidence from the Scriptures and from Jesus Christ himself. But the second thing we should consider is, what is heaven like? In Revelations chapter 21 and 22, we have John's vision of heaven. There he speaks of the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. It is hard for the Bible to convey to us what heaven is like. You see, the Bible is a way for sinners to find their way back to God. And in heaven, they don't need the Bible. So heaven is described in terms of what will not be there. Jesus tells us in Revelation 21 and 4, there will be no night, no mourning, or crying, or pain, for the older order of things have passed away. So let us just look at those in reverse order. First of all, we're told there is no pain. Physical pain is a part and parcel of life here on earth. Pain caused by accident, by illness or disease, can often last for days or weeks or years. No one escapes pain. We have all aches and pains, even if it should be the cut finger or the occasional sore head. But pain need not be physical. We can suffer emotional pain, betrayal of someone that we trusted, a broken relationship, marriage breakdowns, redundancy, guilt, shame, failure, and disappointment all bring pain. But in heaven, there will be no pain. But then secondly, we're told there is no crying. Watch your television, and you will see countless tears every day, caused by natural disasters, earthquakes and floods, etc., also caused by terrorism in many countries. Every family and every individual has shed tears, caused by situations around them, caused by the loss of a loved one near or dear to them. Many times we shed tears whenever we see what's happening in our news in the world around us. In heaven, evil will be eliminated. Tears are common here on earth, but there will be none in heaven, as God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So in heaven, there will be no tears. Then thirdly, there is no mourning. We normally associate mourning with the deep grief and sorrow associated with the loss of a loved one or someone we know well. However, in the Bible and daily life, it covers a much wider range of things and experiences and sadnesses and regrets and disappointments at times. leaving us miserable, leaving us frustrated, leaving us in a sense of mourning and sadness. Yet in heaven, mourning has passed away. And fourthly, there is no death in heaven. Death is a mystery to us. There's a massive difference between being seriously ill and being dead. One minute, no matter how sick and frail that person is, they're alive and in the room with us. And the next moment, they've gone. Many fear death because they will be entering unknown territory. And this makes it both mysterious and miserable, and all the surrounding and aids to the misery. But in heaven, death no longer exists. It is no more. It is gone forever. How amazing, how wonderful it is. And then we're also told in heaven there is no night. And no need of the sun and the moon. The point is this. It centers in God. When John tried to describe the glories of the city, he would do only what he did whenever he attempted to describe the presence of God himself. That is, speak of it in terms of precious stones. The radiance of the New Testament was like a jasper, clear as crystal. John goes on to say, the glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Ah, who can describe the wonders of heaven? What a contrast from this troubled earth. This is what the Christian has to look forward to. We look forward with excitement. There will be one there who is wise, who will make sure that his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. It is wonderful to know that soon the believer will be in heaven, where there will never be another fight or struggle, where we can never be weary again. If only we could understand the glories of heaven, we would be led very different. We'd lead very different lives, seeking to be ready for it. Whenever a loved one passes from this scene of time, it is only those who are left behind are weary and sad and sorrowing. But the one who has passed on has gone to a wonderful place, a wonderful experience. Today, Jesus is telling us, let not your heart be troubled. But along with that, he's also telling us the reason why. He is saying, let not your heart be troubled, for there is a place I am preparing for you. And again, he says, let not your heart be troubled, for there is a peace that I am giving you. A place and a peace from Jesus to untrouble our fearful hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And that you will be with me and be with me forever. What a wonderful experience that is. Just think of it. Jesus Christ is in heaven preparing a place for those who have put their faith and trust in him. What did I say to the boys and girls about getting a ticket for heaven? Yes, when you have that ticket, then you're sure of getting there. These were the words that Jesus told his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Their hearts were troubled. Their hearts were fearful. Jesus was telling them that he was going away, and that was troubling them. And that would not have, they would not have him around the way they had over the past few years. They were perplexed. What did he mean? Jesus is going away. Yes, he's going the way of the cross, but that is precisely for their and for our advantage. For on that cross, Jesus had gone to, he had won the forgiveness of our sins. And that is what defeat and death for us, and takes away the sting of it. And then he's going to prepare a place for those who would follow him. Yes, Jesus has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. Heaven is a place. What is heaven like? There is no pain. There's no mourning. There's no crying. There's no sadness. Heaven is a wonderful place. But the third thing we should consider is, who is in heaven? And first of all, we notice God is there and Jesus Christ is there. That is why Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." When Jesus completed his work of atonement, he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. How wonderful it is that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is sitting in heaven with those nail-pierced hands and that feet and that wounded on his side. One day the believer will enter heaven and he or she will be able to see Jesus for the first time and worship their Savior. Remember, it is one of the realities of the Christian gospel that there is already a man in heaven, Jesus, with those nail-pierced hands and side and feet. About 6 weeks after his crucifixion and resurrection, having appeared and disappeared to the disciples, he eventually ascended to be with his Father in heaven. Perhaps many of us do not make as much of the ascension as we ought. Jesus literally left earth from the Mount of Olives near Jerusalem with his disciples staring towards heaven, and he ascended there with in his new resurrected body. He is already there today. His work is certainly not ended, for he indicated that he wanted to go to heaven to prepare a place for us to live there, so that we can go in our new resurrected bodies like his, and one day that we will possess. It is from heaven that Jesus will one day return to demonstrate his power and show his glory and judge both the living and the dead. In Acts we read about Stephen being stoned to death. But he, that is Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfast unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Here was Stephen facing death. Heaven was opened and he saw Jesus. Stephen, whenever he was surrounded by the howling multitudes, saw the Son of Man there. And when Jesus looked down from the earth to earth from heaven, he saw his first martyr in the middle of his persecutors, and he gave him a welcome into heaven. Yes, Jesus is now in heaven, standing there to welcome those who die knowing the Lord. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." So if Jesus is busy preparing a place for the Christian, then that means he is there and he is making plans for his friends to be with him in heaven. God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Savior in heaven. But then we're told in Matthew that there will be angels there. "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." You know, at times we do not give enough thought about the angels. Remember, Daniel was in a den of lions, and we read in Daniel 6 and 22 where Daniel said, "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions." And there are many references in Scripture to angels. And also there are many instances in real life when it is obvious that angels were involved, as angels are often invisible to the human eye. So whether visible or invisible, however, God causes angels to go before us, to be with us, to follow after us. There's no doubt angels have been and are still very active in this world today. We've heard time and time again of miraculous things happening. Why did a gun suddenly jam? Did that person's angel stop that from taking effect? Why was somebody not in a particular place where they should have been or normally were? God works in mysterious ways. And God has his angels around us, before us, behind us, beside us. And his angels are in control of his situation. So angels are very active in this world. At our Lord's resurrection and ascension back in heaven, the Bible tells us that God made man a little lower than the angels. Yes, the angels are active in this world, and they're also active in heaven. One day the believer will be able to join with the angels in singing praise and worshiping our Savior. But then we can say that when we reach heaven, then we will meet the Christians who have gone before us. What a wonderful reunion that will be. Being able to see our loved ones in a glorious aspect of heaven. But heaven is far more about God than far less about us. What a pleasure it will be to be reunited with our loved ones and worship God with them for all eternity. When Jesus revealed his glory to Peter and to James and to John, they immediately recognized Moses and Elijah, even though they had never met them before. They knew enough about them that they recognized them. Jesus never introduced them and told the disciples who these men were. The disciples already knew them. And what a wonderful reunion it will be for these men, for us to see these men. We have read about them in the scriptures. We have read about things happened in their lives. And one day we will meet them. Words fail to express the glories and the wonders of heaven. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, as it is written, "What no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." Again he says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Tell me, are you looking forward to going to heaven? It is far more exciting, far more thrilling than going on a long holiday to some famous country or some famous place to visit. Just think of it. Heaven is a place where our Savior is. Heaven is a place where the angels are. Heaven is a place where our loved ones are. What a wonderful place it will be. What a wonderful experience we will have whenever we leave this place and go to heaven. And so in conclusion, I ask you the question, will you be there? It is clear from Scripture that there are two destinations for men and women when they leave this earth. And contrary to some opinion, it is not necessary to choose between them. You need to choose heaven, since you need to do nothing in order to get to hell. The Bible clearly states, "How shall ye escape if ye neglect your great salvation? He that believeth in the Son has life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." The tragic situation today is that many people neglect their salvation. They just do nothing about it. And Scripture reminds us, "How shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation?" Many people go through life believing that they are better than other people they know, while others point to their religious beliefs and their activities as reasons for assuming that at the end of life God will turn a blind eye to their failures. Yet the Bible says that in terms of getting right with God, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. when we take the very best of our beliefs and the finest of our actions, including our religious activities, and put them in God's scales, they weigh precisely nothing. Has the Lord Jesus Christ gone to prepare a place, gone to prepare a home for you? You remember Judas Iscariot? Judas Iscariot kept company with Jesus and with the other disciples, and he was not one of them. And sometimes there are those who come to the Lord's table and they keep company with genuine believers, but they're not one of his disciples. Heaven is a place of holiness. And only those who trust Christ and his work and who receive him as their Savior can qualify for entering heaven. Yes, those who are born again, those who have got a ticket from Jesus, are certain of that blessed hope which we shall enter in at our journey's end. If you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do that now and be sure of heaven as your home for all eternity. Jesus underlined this claim to be the only way of heaven by declaring, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is not one of many ways to heaven. Jesus is the only way. And we hear so much these days about you go your way and I'll go my way. We hear so much these days there are many faiths and many ways and many beliefs. But let us make it quite clear there's only one way to heaven. There's not many ways. Jesus is the way. He took our sins on his sinless shoulder, and he carried him to the cross. There he died. There he shed his sacred blood on our behalf for our salvation. "It is finished," Jesus cried. And it is done. Sin forgiven, covered and paid for, all of them. And without sins forgiven, death is defeated and destroyed. Jesus' resurrection on Easter morning showed that this is so. Mission accomplished. After Good Friday and Easter, then Jesus is going away, not in defeat, but in victory. The victorious Son returns to his Father. He ascends up into heaven, there to prepare a place for us. He prepares a place for all those who trust in him. And what a place that will be. An individual who has spent his or her life in rebellion against God, in their pursuit of sinful self-interest, and who reaches the end of his or her life in that condition and has not sought Christ as a Savior, will find that there is no place prepared for them. As the hymn puts it, "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good so that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood." When D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, was dying, his last words were, "Earth is receding. Heaven is approaching. This is my crowning day." As Jesus was being crucified, one of the criminals being executed alongside him cried out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And in reply, Jesus told him, "Truly I tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise." Two men died beside Jesus on the cross. One chose Christ and went to heaven with him. And the other rejected Christ and was lost for eternity. Which one are you? Which one are you? Is there a place being prepared in heaven for you? Let us pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for that amazing preparation you're making for your people. We thank you that you sent your one and only Son to be your Savior. And we thank you that whenever we come to him and have our sins forgiven, then he starts to prepare a place for us in heaven. Grant, O God, that many will seek the Savior this day, and that the very angels in heaven, yes, the very angels in heaven, will be rejoicing because of those who sought the Savior. For we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.